Good morning. Will you please join me in a word of prayer? Almighty God, we come to you this morning carrying so many things into this sanctuary. Holy Spirit, come. Help us to clearly hear your word, the message that you have for each one of us. Break down the barriers, the distractions. We've come to meet you here, and you have shown up. Shown up in song and in sacrament. And now allow us to receive your word. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have ever gone to camp, how many people have gone to camp as a high schooler or maybe later on? Do you've ever done a team building exercise at work? How about team building? Oh yeah. Team, the word team, right? That's great. So if you've ever done any of those things, you may be familiar with the trust fall. So there's something that I want to share with you this morning that I'm certain maybe only two or three people in my life know about me. And so because I trust you and because I love all of you, I'm going to share it with you, knowing that you're not going to use it against me. You're not going to put it on Facebook. But if you do, I'm sharing it, so that's okay. So I graduated high school in 1990, and after I graduated, I went up to the frozen tundra of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and attended university at Lake Superior State University for pursuing a degree in law enforcement. So my plan was to become a state police officer. So I went to a good program in northern Michigan to do that. Now, during that year, I did something that was really unique. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to back it up with a story to help clarify it. So during that year, when I was in college, I was a stuntman. A stuntman, yeah, that's right. But before you get any ideas of me lighting myself on fire or driving on cars with two wheels, I really do need to make sure that you clearly understand what a stuntman is. So if you've ever watched a college basketball game, football game, anywhere where people gather and there's sports, usually on the sidelines, there's a group of people that are trying to really muster the spirit of the audience. And usually in that group of people, if you look close, you'll see bodies flying up in the air, doing cartwheels, being thrown at ridiculous heights. So the people who throw those and hopefully catch those people are called stuntmen and stunt women. So when I say I was a stuntman, my wife always corrects me. No, Matthew, you weren't a stuntman. You were a cheerleader. Yeah. Yeah. So I can take that number of two or three people and really blow it up now. So I've chosen this way to kind of lead into a message that actually is a little more serious than that, but I'm hoping now that your hearts are light and you're open and ready to receive that message. So the trust fall. The moment when you place your well-being into the arms of others. Now, in 1990, when I was a stuntman, my wife's sitting in the front here, I'm just waiting for her to shout it out. I remembered a situation that showed me the real risk of what it means to trust other people. I can remember when we first learned the appropriate way to throw people and catch people, there was something that was really, really important about that whole process. So as the one who was there to catch the person that was flying through the air, it was super, super important for you to lock your arms. So you'd have two or three people, and they would lift this person into the air, and then right away, you would lock arms. I remember a situation where we were going through the drills and exercising and practicing and practicing, which is something we did regularly. And one of the small groups, as we stood to the side, they were preparing to do their stunt. And they launched this person into the air, but didn't come to the center to lock arms as the person descended. So what happened, of course, gravity wins, right? Gravity wins. So what happened is this person came crashing down to the ground and actually broke their arm. So that was a really good example of what it means to trust someone and to have that person fail. In my preparing for this sermon today, the number one response that I had when I asked people, so you remember the trust fall? Yeah, I did the trust fall. Well, what was your biggest fear with the trust fall? And obviously, across the board, no exceptions, the answer was, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get hurt. So trust. What makes us trust people? What makes you trust people? For me, it's knowing that people are going to look out for me, that they know me enough to know what hurts me and what makes me feel good. So the example I gave you about the college student who broke their arm serves as one example of a way that trust could become very hard to establish. When we are hurt by others, we lose trust in them. Trust is very sensitive, and it's very fragile in most relationships. It has to be handled very carefully. This is yet another message that really reveals to each one of us the human condition. Our reading from the Gospel of John is a part of what is known as Jesus' farewell discourse. Farewell discourse. Jesus and the 11 disciples who were with him that evening had just finished the Last Supper, and Jesus begins to share with the 11 that he will be leaving them. The one that they had followed, the one that they had trusted, would be going away. It is understandable that the disciples would be sad at the news that Jesus would be going to the Father, but in addition to sadness came a long list of questions. What do you mean you're leaving? Can we go? What does the Father mean? All these questions. As I studied this reading and reflected on the questions that Jesus was asked, I began to feel that the disciples lack trust in Jesus. And perhaps they lack trust in themselves. Jesus was leaving, but that did not mean that the disciples would be left to fend for themselves. These were terrible times for the Jewish people. The Gospel of John reveals to us that the world of that day was a world that hated the Jews. In fact, with a movement of people following Jesus Christ, the Jews had begun to be known as the people who did not even believe their own teachings. Even among the Jewish people, there was conflict among those who had chosen Jesus and those who chose Moses. In this moment, this farewell disclosure, Jesus tells the disciples that they will receive help, even in his absence. From verse 27, we hear the words of Jesus. I am leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give you as a gift the world cannot give. Amen to that. So don't be troubled and don't be afraid. The gift is the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of John emphasizes the role of the Holy Spirit, introduced, and here's your fancy Greek word for the day, as the Paraclete. The Paraclete, which translated means advocate, counselor, or helper. Losing a trusted friend creates a huge void in our lives, and there's no question about that. And Jesus was reassuring the disciples that the helper would continue to teach and to lead them. Has anyone here ever had to say goodbye to someone that they love? Someone that they trust? I think most of us could answer yes to that question. The thought of such a moment can leave us fearful that falling would only mean that nobody would be there to catch us. The trust fall can be scary, crossing your arms in front of your chest and closing your eyes and just leaning back, hoping and praying. It's such a moment of anxiety. But then, when or if, rather, you're caught, you just feel this overwhelming sense of care and love. And the feelings of trust begin to build for those people that are around you that caught you. So falling in love, falling head over heels for someone, both of those things feel so good. But falling for a lie or falling out of somebody's good graces, those feelings can leave you feeling really raw inside. For us, falling does come with great risk. When we look at falling from our human perspective, things like judgment and doubt and the big one, expectations, can prevent us from ever trusting anyone at all or drawing closer to the people around us. The falling that I want you to consider today is falling for Jesus Christ. And while Jesus Christ is fully divine and fully human, we need to remember that there's a big difference in the humanity of Christ and that of our own. Looking to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, the great high priest of ours, Jesus Christ, understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. We learn that Jesus Christ is fully divine and fully human. The humanness of Jesus Christ did not include the brokenness that we experience each and every day. So we know this character from our childhood. When we fall for our sake, we frequently are broken into pieces. The Lord can take those pieces and redeem them. But we must make a decision to receive grace. After all, what is a gift if we don't receive it? All of those characters in the story could not put those broken pieces together again. That's because it wasn't a job for people. It was a job for God. We know that our faith in Christ comes with a promise. Jesus told the 11 that he would be going to the Father and preparing a place for them and for us. From John's Gospel, chapter 25, verse 25 rather, Jesus gives us these words. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. Brothers and sisters, a day is coming when we who have chosen Jesus Christ will fall into his arms. Knowing that should give us great confidence and inspire us to do what we do for Christ's sake, not our own. And in case you thought I'd forgotten about inviting Martin Luther into this conversation, Martin Luther had an opinion about everything, and the four Gospels were no exception. With regards to the Gospel according to John, Luther says this: the Gospel of John is far to be preferred over the other three because it will show you Christ and teach you everything that you need to know. This thing that I'm asking you to consider, a continued love for those who have broken our trust, or an effort to reach out to those who may have hurt us, or those that we may have hurt, this can stretch us. This can leave us vulnerable. And the world teaches us that it's very dangerous to be vulnerable. But that's the world, not Jesus Christ. We will hit a wall with this. And that is the moment when we remember that we have received the Holy Spirit. The moment that we remember Christ is for us and Christ is in us. Martin Luther said this: for we know that we must place trust in the intercession of Christ because it alone has God's promise. Intercession is just a fancy word that tells us that Jesus Christ goes to God on our behalf so that even when we screw up, there is hope for each and every one of us. The time has come for each one of us to consider all of these people who have broken our trust. Are we still praying for them? Are we still loving them for who they are, children of God? How about those people who we may have hurt? As we celebrate Memorial Day, we will hear those stories about women and men who have fought wars in foreign lands, lost friends, and experienced terrible heartbreak. But we've also heard the accounts of those same people returning to the places where wars were fought to meet those who were once known as enemies in an effort to see those people in a new way. In the preparation of this sermon, I was reminded that I have people in my life that need to see the love of Jesus Christ through my actions of love and forgiveness. That there are people who I need to turn towards, not away from, so that they would begin to see the work of the Holy Spirit in me. What's the good news? The good news is God can. All those broken pieces, all the hurt from a failure of trust. Jesus Christ is waiting for us to fall into his loving arms and to be healed, to be reconciled, and to be made new. And then to go back out into the world and share that light that is inside each one of us. When we fall for Christ's sake, we are caught by God's promise. We can walk in the love of Jesus Christ and be witness to our faith. It is the Spirit that sustains the work of Jesus in the life of those who believe. What we all have in Almighty God through Christ and with the power of the Holy Spirit is not a prediction. It is a promise. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read them, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of the Holy Spirit, we may embrace and even hold fast to the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.